Ottoman Pitch Podcast.
Yeah, we're doing it. Okay, this will be a lot more relaxed. Okay, so what's up? What you want to talk? Oh, welcome to the Adam and Pitch Podcast, where all your dreams come true and you learn things. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just feel annoyed. Get over it. Join us.
Are you telling me to get over it, or are you telling, like, people tuning in to get over it?
I don't know what I'm saying. Sorry, that was a bad intro. Adam, do better intro. Go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Adam and Pitch Podcast. I'm your host today, Adam, and your co-host and second host and hostess of the mostest here is Pitch.
That's me.
And we're excited to be, you know, working on probably, this is like our, what, 20th episode, I'm guessing. I'm just going to say 20. It's a round number.
You know the numbers.
It's up there higher. Yeah. I think we made it to 16 episodes. However, I think four of those episodes were total trash, and they're not online.
Okay.
Because, honestly, I think I was going through some stuff at the time.
What?
I just remember having, like going through stuff. I was going through a lot of stuff last year.
I was going through a lot of stuff, too.
So, I think...
Going through a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So, I think some of that came through.
We're in better places now.
Amen.
Maybe not. I mean, you're a homeowner now. You weren't a homeowner then.
Nope.
You're a homeowner now.
A lot has changed for me.
And California, people. California. That's huge.
Yes. I'm just pausing because I'm like... I just recently drafted and set up our, like, what happened in 2023. But not what happened. Kruger's 2023, like, the year. Like, Alyssa and I do that every year. We kind of, like, record... almost like in an article format or something, how the year of 2023 went.
Do you send your relatives or something?
Yeah, it's for like family. It's for like, okay. We share it with family, and maybe we haven't sent them out. All right. So I don't post my personal information on social media. When I say social media, I more mean like Facebook and Instagram.
Instead, I do. So go to pitchmichael.com and get all Kruger.
You do of me. So everyone's like, aha!
I found you.
Dang it. No. I decided a couple years ago when I started my blog that I would put an article up every year of what's going on with the Krugers. So that way, if anyone from Facebook, Instagram or Twitter or whatever, that was family... Like, Facebook had a lot of family. We had, like, all of our family and all my old friends from, like, our early 20s and everything. There's a lot of people, like, thousands of people that I just, you know, had on there. And I've left Facebook for quite a few years now. And so my thought was, at some point or another, pop on a Facebook, blast a whole bunch that I'm not, hey, we're family. My family's not on here anymore, but... I started a blog, and if you want to follow what's going on with the Kruger family, check out my blog. And for those who want to know what's going on within the family, there's a members-only area where we're going to post. And there's no money to join. It's just that I have to approve each person that joins so that it's not random people reading about my life. It's just people that really want to know what's going on with us. Mm-hmm. They keep tabs on us. And then kind of do the same that they were doing with Facebook, but now it's a little more private, and I control my information, you know?
Yeah.
So I started writing an article per year. I think 2022 was the first article, and then there was, like, a couple of 2022 articles. I did, like, a spring and a winter, and then I just ended up doing one a year or whatever. So I just did 2023, and it's the May of 2024. And so it's what I'm trying to say is everything is fresh in my head of what happened last year. I lost four relatives. I lost my uncle, my aunt, my second cousin.
Wow.
And actually we're five relatives. My grandfather, who I lived with, and then my grandmother passed in just before we had to move out of our home. So a lot of the family, extended family, went last year, which was it was like just one after the next every month. It felt like it wasn't, there's only five, there's 12 months a year, but still it was the first time I started losing, you know, the older generation, you know, and some of those people were gems, like my grandmother, so much, you know, she grew up in New York Mm-hmm. And I think, I can't remember, but it was one of, like, he was either Queens or the Bronx. I can't remember. Because I get those confused for some reason. She grew up in New York. Her mom married after she lost her dad. And so her mom married another guy in New York, and they had another. So my grandmother has, like, her siblings and then another siblings group on that side. You know, to be over here in California meant that, you know, she went through some transition in life. You know, started off in New York, moved, traveled, did some things, met my grandfather, you know, and they got married. My grandfather is, for the first time ever, he's starting to slow down. You know, he's forgetting things on that side of the family. So, you know, he might be going soon too.
Yeah.
And so that would be like the end of my grandparents' generation, pretty much.
Mm.
And, but anyway, so that was, there was just a lot going on last year with that. And then my grandfather, who I did live with, we lived with him for like 10 years, obviously, when he passed, the estate needed to be settled, and we were on a timeline, and it was like we had it about. So it was crazy. It was a blessing.
Yeah.
The end result was a blessing, but through it, I was disappointed with certain family members, which was really interesting because I had a feeling like when this ends, God's going to have done something great in my life, and I'm not going to be upset. Like, I knew that. And so it didn't let me get fully upset, but I had my moments. I had my moments of frustration because, to be honest, some of the things that happened during that transition were just very very inconsiderate. Mm-hmm. And they could have easily been more considerate. They just didn't care. And that hurt. That was offensive. But I have no bitterness, nothing like that, so praise the Lord for that, because, usually that, I don't know, I hear stories from people, and they're just like dead set bitter on their relatives or certain things, you know, and that's not the case. I would totally be fine hanging out with those family members. I'm not going to say everything they've done in their life is right, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, because not everything I've done in my life is right, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's cool, and, so this year, it's just like, wow, you know, snow at the house. That's a new fun experience.
Yeah.
And you guys got to
come
and
crazy.
Visit one of those. And it was really a nice one. It was a really good one.
Yeah.
So that's neat. That's super fun. And then space, like, well, we started the podcast. I remember one of the episodes, we talked about making like a, not a dream board, but making a vision board or something like that, right? It's interesting. So I totally do not believe in manifestation, like, unless it's God or a demon. Unless it's God or a demon, manifestation is not something we as human beings, I don't think something we do. We don't manifest. God manifests. Well, if we manifest, it's not from a good spiritual place.
What does that mean?
Manifest. To some, it means, and it depends upon how you're using it, but the way I'm using it is basically like the secret. So, like, you know, like, believe in good things happening in your life and they'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like taking something God promises, removing God out of it. So now it becomes the strange, like, mysticism thing where if you put energy out there, it'll hear you and things will happen.
Me and Candace were talking about this.
What?
Me and Candace were just talking about this.
Oh, cool.
In a different degree, different level. So I think I know what you don't believe on it, but I wouldn't say it's all fictional. I think God creates natural laws.
Yes.
Sowing and reaping. And you don't have to do it under God because it's just a natural law. If you sow, if you put time into something.
You live a long life.
Yeah,
that is a spiritual law, I call it.
Yeah,
and it's true for any, it's true for anyone.
But it's natural and spirit. Like it'll work naturally and spiritually.
Yeah,
like you could sow into something spiritually, naturally, like, and you'll reap a benefit. You'll reap something. You sow into your kids.
You sow into your flesh. You reap destruction.
Yeah,
which is what your flesh does.
Yeah, but But I guess what I'm getting at is a lot of those, God created them, but you can reap the benefits of those natural laws without God at all. And that's why all these self-help books can work for people sometimes, because they're utilizing the structure God set up here on earth and doing, and then saying some higher, they're talking about nonsense, which throws people off, which doesn't point them the right direction. But somehow some of those things they do work because they're God set up laws that you read about throughout the whole Bible, through Proverbs, through all of them, that are just like, if you do this, this will happen.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you say law, would you then say like it's absolute? Like let me explain.
Okay.
You know, depending upon how, you know, where you are in physics, some people are saying that gravity is not actually gravity. It's, you know, air pressure keeping you to the ground or whatever.
Right.
But the classic case of gravity, right? The rule is it's a law. It's a principle law, right? And like if you throw something up, it's going to come back down, right? The law of gravity.
Yes.
So, and to date, nobody has invented a device, a technology, a chemistry reaction other than explosion that disables gravity.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so when we talk scientifically about laws, I think they're absolute. That's my interpretation of it. Mm-hmm. So if you know, you reap what you sow, I believe that is a spiritual law. Because it's not natural. It's not like it doesn't pertain to physical stuff. It could.
If you plant a seed, it's going. If you don't plant a seed, guess what? Nothing's going to grow. But okay. If you plant a seed, something will grow.
So you reap what you sow. So, yeah. Okay. So that one is, you know, presented or whatever without any caveats.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is with certain of these like spiritual natural laws or whatever they are, I am hesitant to like put a lot of stock into believing they work the same as like physical laws do in regards to like physics, because there's also verses where God says he gives and he takes away. You know what I mean? Like there's also verses where, you know, there's a season for this, there's a season for that. And those aren't laws, but those are for our wisdom, for our understanding, to recognize when you're in a season of war, battle, or when you're a season of peace, basically to like celebrate the peace and get through, you know, and survive through the battle, because understanding that this won't last forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so these are teachings to give us wisdom. These are seasons. These are things people go through. And so, but if you were to, So that's one thing. And then if you're saying that there's a law, like if you put positive thoughts out there, you know, like good things will come back. You'll reap, if you put positivity out there, you'll reap positivity. If you were to take it from that angle, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell someone like, I'm not going to bank on that. And I'm not saying like, bad to do, right? That's totally a good thing to do, to be positive, think light, you know, suffer negative thoughts for sure. Like that's actually a spiritual principle, right? Long suffering. That would mean that you're prohibiting yourself from allowing negativity to come out of you. And instead, you know, you're trying to put positive things out there. So all this to say is, going back to the manifest thing, I'm not sure it's all one thing. I'm not sure it's all manifestation. So let's go back to the positive thoughts thing.
Okay.
If you're putting positive thoughts out there and good things happen.
Mm-hmm.
To you, you might look and say, look.
And what do you mean by, it sounds so.
I'm being a little vague. I need to
look
one.
Yeah, said one. I get where you're going, because some of those books or whatever, the target.
Yeah.
But I think you, when you're saying positive thoughts, you're thinking of a specific thing. So let's just say what you were thinking specifically.
Okay. Mood board. Not the wrong one. That's for desires. What I'm thinking of is the vision board.
Uh-huh.
Say you put, I put a house with much land and a shop on it.
Yeah.
I put that on there.
Mm-hmm.
I currently have a house with much land and a shop on it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe that I manifested that. What I believe is I picked a goal and I worked towards that goal. and I refused several houses I could have bought until that one showed up and I realized this has what I want and I picked that. I became goal-oriented in my approach to things. Because I could have picked a house that was much closer in San Diego, that was like a pre-manufactured home and needed a lot of work and would have been an insufferable place to live. And thankfully, I didn't. I didn't, because I said to myself, well, this place makes me happy. And I said, you know what? I made a goal. I want this. And this doesn't have that. I might be wrong to think I should claim something. I doubted that. But I said, you know what? I don't have any other answers when I was looking at houses. I don't have any other answers. I don't have anything to tell me this is better or this is better. I don't know. But when I came to that house that had much land and a shop on it, which is what I wanted,
yeah,
I was like, wow. This might be something I should, like, if this is what I want, then this is what I should go for. Can I go for this? And then everything worked out and it happened, which I will receive as a blessing from God, 100%. Do I believe that I got, that what I got was because I spoke it out into existence? Not one for one, but because I spoke it out into existence, I began to believe that it existed for me. I began to search for it. I began to make that goal something to work towards. If I had never done that, I might have just accepted whatever came in front of me.
So it sounds like you're posing an argument for it.
No, what I'm trying to say is I didn't manifest something. What I did is I worked towards a goal. I decided I need a goal. For this, like, okay, so I already knew I wanted it. I was going to want to live it.
I mean, that's what manifests. Okay.
Okay, so going back to manifest.
Yeah, so when I think maybe you, that's why I asked what you mean by that, because I think, yes, if you say something, I want $1 million, and it's in your butt, and you just go,
$1 million would be nice.
Like, the likelihood of that happening, but it's like when, okay, I've seen that with, like, people that want to work out. Like, they have, like, some goal they want, like, their body, and look. And they have a goal. Now, that inspires them, whatever the their thing is, whatever the poster, I don't know. It inspires them, and then they work out, and that's their goal. And so I think that is manifestation. That's what I would think.
Okay, so you're seeing the beginning result, all the work you put into it, and then the outcome, the desired outcome happens. You're saying
people that think that can be called manifestation. They put something in. And they put something out there and just comes. Okay, if that's what manifestation really is, if we looked it up, then yeah, I think that's kind of silly.
Yeah, I do too, because my understanding of what manifestation is basically when God manifests, right? So, like,
there's that can happen. God can just drop whatever he wants into your lap. He's God, but like,
yes, but you know. Don't. Okay, but then the thing is to understand a blessing.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so. And this is a little maybe okay. I think from what I remember of in the past reading about the word manifestation is I believe what I remember reading, because I don't have a dictionary in front of me right now.
I'll look it up. Keep going.
If you're going to look it up, I would advise using the 1828 dictionary, because that's what I. Because it's, you know, when the English language was founded more so, and not what the new dictionaries say things are. But manifestation is when spiritual becomes physical. That's my, like, root definition, if you will, of how I perceive the word manifestation. When spiritual becomes physical. So that would be like physically seeing a demon appear, physically seeing an angel appear, physically seeing someone get healed who was broken, a miracle. Miracles are manifestations of God's power. These are the ways I see the word manifestation, what it means. So when I hear a person talk about creating a goal, working towards that goal, and then that goal happening, I just don't feel that the word manifestation is the appropriate application to those cases. So in using it that way, but
and yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
It kind of sounds like I'm talking about semantics, maybe.
No, but I see what you're saying.
So
yeah.
So going back earlier to the vision board stuff.
Yeah.
When people create a vision board, and the things happen on that vision board, and they're saying, "Wow, I manifested that." It has a mysticism sound to it,
Yeah.
And I want to be like, whoa, bro. Like,
you put down the board and then you did acts that would lead you to that board and you had to set a goal. You made a plan.
It's a psychological thing.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah. Okay? I think it comes
in. And you need that. You need that to start off. You need to see it.
You really do.
Yeah.
If you don't have a goal.
I mean, this is in Proverbs. If you don't, a man without a plan.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, you're not going anywhere. I don't know the verse, but that's what it is.
So, and to me, and maybe, you know, someone will chop this up as semantics, but to me, I think it's really important for people to understand what the process really is. Because you could get some young person who doesn't get any of this, sees people creating vision boards, and they're just like, they slap it on their wall and they worship that vision board like it's an idol, like a god. You know what I mean? Like, I want that. And they're thinking that just wanting something, for one, maybe means that they should get it or that it's even the right thing. I mean, I just don't agree with that. I just don't agree with creating a vision board and believing that you and being of the mindset that you're going to manifest this into your life. Because, I mean,
so sure,
maybe you can accomplish that. I don't doubt you can accomplish it. But man, I'm not wanting to perpetuate that to any of my friends. I don't want my friends thinking that, approaching it that way, because to me, that's them creating, them being their own god, them idolizing their own wants and making them happen and praising themselves for the accomplishment or even mysticism for, I wanted this and it happened and therefore, like, I manifested this. That's what I'm not into. I don't know what I'm saying at this point anyway. But that's no. But psychologically, I think people need to realize that.
So you're not against vision boards. You're against a certain posture with people that have vision, or a certain posture when having a vision board.
Yes.
I like it.
And this is interesting because I talked to a couple people about this over the last few months. One of them was a worship leader at our new church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I didn't talk to him about it. I told him about a podcast I listened to where this was it, and I gave him a heads up that you're going to hear them talk about a vision board and how, and this concept of manifestation. And I was like, just so you know, I don't believe in that. I believe that psychologically, when you set a goal and you work towards it, or if you just set a goal, regardless of working towards it, but you set a goal and you keep reminding yourself of the goal, you keep listening. Because, I did what the podcast at the time did. I made a porting of my vision board.
Okay.
I listened to it over and over again.
Okay.
And it reminded me of what I was working towards.
Mm.
It just kept me on target.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that's huge because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've made a lot of lists in my life of things I wanted to do, and I made the list and never looked at it again. And
that's true.
Who knows what I didn't do for those lists?
Yeah,
probably less than I wanted to.
Yeah,
but when you keep reminding yourself of what your goal is, it's a lot easier because you're conscious of it.
Yeah,
which then leads us to the ultimate consciousness, which is awareness that Holy Spirit is with you every single moment of your life, and you know what I mean, and that opens the world up to a whole different perspective. And when you realize, Holy Spirit is right there in every single moment, awareness.
Another. No fact.
Yeah. I kind of. I'm good.
Okay.
Anyways, my classic line.
So.
But true. So what do you think? Because you did the vision board.
Did I do it?
Yeah, you did. I made you do one.
Was it online?
I think it was on your Apple Notes. See if it's on your Apple Notes. That'd be funny to see.
I don't think I have a vision. Did Apple Notes? I don't think I made an app in the board.
You probably deleted it.
No, I don't delete. No.
Well, maybe it was in Notion. Maybe I made you do it in Notion.
Vision goal? Wait, no, these are verses. But that's not probably it. Vision?
Did we call it?
No, none of that is right. None of that I stopped looking at that.
Oh, you found it?
I think so. Oh, Adam, wait. Yeah, no, that's not good. I didn't have,
I didn't look at this though. Yeah,
I kind of forced you to do it. I at the time I don't think you were really absolutely like.
I found a good woman. I found a good woman. And you know what? That's probably the most important out of everything here. So
there you go.
I really did. So yeah.
Anything else on there that was interesting?
Get a jet.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's on there. I don't know.
We were both talking like.
I know we were talking about back then. That's funny.
I'm definitely not interested in getting a jet right now or a plane. You know, it doesn't make sense to my family. Actually, you know what I would want? I would
luxury vehicle. I got a decent.
You have a nice car.
Yeah. It's not luxury, but it's all right. It's nice.
I think you were looking for a car when you wrote that.
Yeah.
You still have the Nissan.
Yeah.
The red one.
Yeah. God. Did you get rid of it?
No.
Oh, you still have it? Okay.
It's still in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
That's parked behind the church. The pastor told me I need to get out of there, so.
And then you need to get the car out of there?
I need to get the car out of there.
Oh.
I think I fixed the smog problem, but I didn't drive it around enough because it's not registered or anything. I didn't drive it around enough for the code to reset.
Okay.
So I can't drive it on the streets until that's done. Anyways, that's a long story, but basically I have to get a day use permit to move it.
Okay.
And that's because of that, it's severely complicated. The moments when I could have picked it up from San Diego. It's just been left there. Oh, yeah. Long story short, great house.
Yeah.
Enjoyed a winter season with a lot of snow and great weather.
Mm-hmm.
Spring hit. That was a doozy. We got hit with some crazy allergies, and that's probably what made us sick. That was rough. And now I'm like, we're I think like 3 or 4 months in going to our new church and meeting lots of people our age, lots of families with kids our age. I played like bass on the worship team 3 or 4 times now. And the last time I played, the worship leader recorded each instrument separately from the set. And so I got to hear me playing the bass. We're like solo, like just on a track. And it wasn't bad.
Okay. I was like, what are you going to say? What is he going to say?
It was good, dude.
Okay.
Like, I only rehearsed a few of the songs a couple of times, and I haven't been playing bass like hardcore for a couple of years now, but I'm definitely back in at full swing.
Oh,
got my little bass board figured out and sound pretty. I like it. I like it. I'm happy. I'm like, this is exciting to play bass again. So that's cool. But yeah, just getting able to use my enjoy using my gifts and talents, you know, and the kids really like the youth crew. It's good, man.
It's good.
A lot of like-minded people there too. Probably even more so than in San Diego.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense a little bit because you're like more east, you know. If you were a little more west, I would say no.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably.
So it's cool. It's a good spot, I think. It's a good spot. One big downer is that I'm far, almost too far away from just on the edge of being too far away from all my previous friends and family. It's not like I can expect anyone to come out every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I knew that. And we kind of embrace that because it gives us an opportunity to focus on family stuff. Like, we homeschool, so focus on homeschooling.
And then,
there's just like, we can, once we figure out bedtime routine, because that's what I was telling you earlier, our bedtime routine was like a 2-hour-long process of everyone getting showers, getting in pajamas, giving their vitamins for the night, because we do vitamins in the night for some reason. Maybe we should do it in the morning. But you ever give everyone vitamins before they go to bed, and then also brushing their teeth. It like just turns into this long ordeal. And we eat dinner around, we usually eat dinner around 6. Dinner's supposed to be 5, but usually it's around 6, right? So, and the kids go to bed at 8.
Oh, God.
So the last person's coming out of the shower, we're kicking, you know, everyone's getting in bed. And so that's got to change, because with that routine in place, it doesn't give us any time to do like a family worship night or like a Bible study. You could do a quick Bible study, but I mean, something's better than nothing, but it's something we got to figure out. But that's the thing, like, we're up there, there's not a lot going on, we can figure it out.
And
so, and I started a YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah, if you did.
I'm like, it's kind of like DIY tool stuff, fixing stuff, and the process of filming that.
And so it's not,
it has somewhat of a niche, but I haven't, I think I'm, I don't know if I'm going to be changing. I haven't done anything in a while, actually.
Indeed.
I need to get back on board with it, so.
And, you know, we had to finally use the drone, you know?
Yeah. I did this, one of my buddies asked me to film some shots for this song he wrote.
Why are you acting like it's a person we don't know? I'm so confused right now.
We know the same guy? Oh, it's you. That's right. It was you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Me and my fiance.
You, the song, well, at the time, together. Your girlfriend.
My girlfriend. we're like, hey, let's shoot a music video for it. So.
Yeah. And you guys were like.
And you were like, yeah, let's go. Let's go like in 2 weeks. And I was like, yeah, that quick? Okay.
Yeah. That's right. Actually, so I just. So this is weird. I was like, what was that? The beginning of April?
Yeah.
So beginning of April was coming up, and I was like, man, I've been working a lot at work. I'm going to ask my boss for like a couple days off. Just like do whatever. I don't know. Just like fiddle around and do something else, not work. And so I asked for those days off, and it was like the very next day or the same day. Mm-hmm. You were like, hey, we wrote a song. I think it's pretty good. Came together real fast. Want to do like we're gonna do a music video. And I was like, well, just got time off for these days. And you're like, oh, that's coming up pretty soon, let me check. And you're like, I have nothing going on those days.
Which is crazy, because Friday, Saturdays I normally have at least one gig.
Crazy. So yeah. It worked out.
Yeah,
it was nice. It was nice to plan something and do it right away.
Yeah,
because it's always like when things are too far away,
mm-hmm.
you get excited, and then as time comes up, you're like, oh, that's right, I have to do this thing, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And also a special weekend, and that's when I proposed and I got a fiance. I dropped a girlfriend and got a fiance.
Wow. That was really sweet. That was a cute moment. It's good. This is a full fun experience. I didn't know what I was doing at all. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But I got to help.
I didn't know. It'd been a long time since I'd shot anything.
I barely knew what I was doing. I was just glad my drone didn't, like, freak out and run anyone over. Thankfully, it has good sensors. Actually, the sensors kind of kept. So apparently, I can turn those off.
Oh.
And then I could have gone a little closer, but probably a good idea.
Yeah, I know. It was good. Yeah, we don't want it. That could have been bad if you did that.
So, and actually, I walked away from that kind of impressed with that little drone.
Yeah.
Because it keeping itself from running into stuff means I didn't accidentally bust it down.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
There's like two airports out there. I don't know how it worked either. Because usually DJIs won't fly near an airport. So maybe it's the level of airport it is. Like the if it's a certain tier airport.
Man.
I don't know. I'm just riffing, trying to figure out why that worked out. I'm just glad it did.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's cool. I think it's turning out okay. Turning out well.
Yep. So, what do you think? A couple weeks? The video is going to be out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the video is very close to wrapped up, but I got to just So Logic 11 just came out.
Oh.
And I've recorded that in Logic X, Logic 10. So I was like thinking I was going to re-import it to Logic 11 and see if there's any new things I could mastering tools.
VR.
Yeah. Maybe just kind of see if there's anything I can play with, which is usually a dumb idea. But it just came out and I was...
Do it for your next song. Get this one to ship it.
I ship it. I know. I like the song.
I think it sounds good.
I like it, yeah.
I don't think... Unless I'm just not aware of all the different, like, ideas you could spin it, I really don't think doing stuff to it is going to make it better than what it is. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, it would be more if they're, like... Because I used... So now Logic has the AI mastering tool.
Oh, okay.
In Logic X, and I don't know if the Logic 11 one had maybe a more advanced one, because I did a home recording master through them, right? I just mastered it through their system. I thought maybe if it was more intelligence.
You were mainly going to run it through Logic for the mastering part.
Yeah, well, I just put it on the buses. I just put it at the end track and just put a master on it, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were thinking of, like...
No, I wasn't going to do anything crazy except maybe with the slide Dobro that I have on there.
That's
right. And change it a little bit. I like how it is. It's more that it's, like, a sample I dropped. It's totally... It's not like it's... It's legal. I dropped it, you know, but it just... So it's like, maybe I could, like... do something a little different with that one, but I'm on the I don't not like it. I like it on there, so there's that thing is like, why would you change it if you like it? Only what it's like, it's like more of an ego pull why I would want to change it.
I would say that just thinking about like this social media aspect and YouTube,
yeah,
this music video. If someone heard that sound,
yeah,
and like they were like aha, and they wanted a comment,
yeah,
it would only like help bring activity to the video.
Oh yeah, because people like, would be like haha, you just use that and be like yeah, I did. It's a great sound.
Because
it's a great MIDI live.
I had a few videos, shorts on YouTube that I created. And, like, one of the most watched ones just so happened to be one where I kind of, because I'm not, there's so many different trades, right, out there. And doing DIY stuff, you're going to do things that are, like, there's experts out there that do this. And you're riffing it. You're, like, you're just winging it. You know, you don't know the rules around it, but you kind of can... You get enough of like how this is supposed to be done that you do it. And if you're doing it on YouTube, you're telling people how you did it. And so I did something basically, and I did it wrong.
Yeah, I remember.
And a handful of people pointed out to me how dumb I am, because what I did, everyone should know.
Yeah.
What I did was taboo, and you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll ruin your tool or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, long term, if I did this over and over and over again, yeah, the tool will be destroyed. And actually, I did see that I blunted the tool because I was hammering it through something.
Mm.
I was hammering a punch through something. But then I looked at it, I'm like, oh, I can sharpen this 2 seconds. And I did. I sharpened it back up, and I'm like, but how many times can I sharpen this?
Yeah.
And I mean, the punch is like not worth anything. It's nothing to cry about.
Yeah.
But I do agree that you shouldn't be telling people how to do something that is like wrong and can break their tools. I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
So I was able to leverage this knowledge that I learned from these people yelling at me how stupid I was to make yet another short that corrected my erroneous way and show the correct way.
Well, there you go.
And but the video that I did something wrong got the most attention.
Yeah.
Most watches, yeah. Most likes. It converted a whole bunch of like 20 plus like subscribers came through that one short, and that's not a lot for you big YouTubers out there, but for little old me, 20 new subscribers from a short was exciting.
Yeah.
And so what I realized is if something is wrong, it's no longer something I'm afraid of. It's more like this could turn into an opportunity. So, you know, if you have...
I mean, I don't think it's wrong. But
no.
I think music snobs might...
recognize that.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, let them.
Yeah.
Let them recognize it. And then as they're whining about it, they should also notice how many people love this video, how many times it was watched.
Yeah.
And what have they put out recently? You know what I mean? Because that's the reality. It's like, everyone's a critic.
Yeah.
Who's out there, you know, actually putting blood, sweat, and tears into creating stuff? And so, do it. Go for it.
Yeah.
But I definitely will admit, though, that I personally am afraid of the same things as what you're pointing out.
Yeah.
If I knew someone might recognize what could be considered a cheat, if you will, or something to that effect in one of my videos, I would try to mask it. I really wouldn't want to be advertising that personally.
Yeah.
Even though there's nothing wrong with it. You know, he gets stuff done, so.
Yeah.
So I get it, though.
Yeah. But, it should be, I mean, hopefully be out soon. I don't know how, I tasked that to Candace, like how to push the audio out. Because there's a few options, like you can use, like, I'm not gonna drop names because no one's paying me. So, but there's like third parties you can use to put your music on, like Spotify, all at once. And there are many now. So, and I know she's used a couple. So it's like, well, you can figure out which one's best.
Do those services? Do they try to act like labels and like take royalty, like ownership of your thing if you distribute it?
They take some, like, one takes, like, most of them take a percentage, yes.
So they're gatekeepers? Like, you can't just go and, like, release your stuff directly? Because, I mean...
I think you can. I think it's a lot more work. I think it's a lot more work. And, like, a lot of them are connected to everything, so, like, you can you could push your things out to Spotify, Pandora, all the places. Instead of having to individually go to each one.
Well, if it's free or relatively cheap for those services to use them, the marketer inside of me would say, do it. Like, there's a certain level where when you're just starting out, awareness of who you are, or awareness, any opportunity to grow awareness of who you are.
We're definitely going to use one. It's just which one.
Yeah,
there's a lot of competitors.
Well, I'm just saying for anyone else listening.
Oh, yeah,
that might be like, dude, I am totally not going, you know, to pay, like, to share my, you know, I'm going to be an independent artist. And I'm not going to let anyone get a taste of my squeeze. You know, like they think they're what is it? Purple guitar guy.
Prince.
Like Prince, at the certain point in his career, like that became his main thing. Like, nobody's gonna help me. You know what I mean? Supposedly he wrote hundreds of songs that populace hasn't heard because, right? Am I thinking of the right person here?
I think he had a problem. I mean, labels were. I mean,
yeah, they were.
When you get tied down with a label, he was. Yeah, that's why he changed his name. What? Formally,
and some people are like that, you know. And Taylor Swift for a hot minute there was like, I'm not going to be on Spotify. They're not going to get to own it. They're not going to get to touch any of my, you know. They're not going to own any royalties from
so
whatever. However that works.
Yeah,
I think she's totally on it now. So whatever that was.
I mean, everyone takes a big cut. It adds up. Like you have a label. They're taking a big percentage. You're using a music publisher. Music publishers, I think, take a minimum of 20. I mean, pretend you're like just a single artist. Okay, you have like a manager. If you're in LA, right, you have a musical manager. Managers take like 20%. You have a music publisher. They take, let's say, lower. Let's say 15, 10%. You have a label. They want to take percentage. Like, it just creeps up. So when these big artists... Or, like,
touring and making, thinking they're making all this money, and they look and they're like, all these people like have taken like all they've done percentage cuts. So like what they're left with is, you know, they're left with a lot because they're making a lot, but like from what they grossed versus what they netted is a lot less, I think, than you'd think. And if an indie artist is making even less, you know, because they're not getting the plays at all. So
yeah, I remember hearing a couple like I think,
by the way, Taylor Swift's making enough money, she's fine. But I'm talking to him, I said, by the way, Taylor Swift's making enough money, she's fine. But yes. I'm saying, you know, like everyone forgets all the little payouts they do.
Right.
If you have all those people, that's a lot of payouts, and it's all percentage based, so most of them.
Yeah. And you even, and even when you're on like Spotify or something like that and you're getting lots of listens, I also understand you're not even making a lot off that anyways.
Spotify pays the least, yeah.
At least.
Yeah, they really do. I think that one that I forgot which one pays the most. Tidal, I think, pays one of the higher ones.
I think I've never considered like as in using Tidal service.
It just
you know what I think it was? There was a point where I just remember Tidal being so pushed and promoted by what's the guy's name? Yeezy.
Okay.
That I just didn't want anything to do with Tidal because I'm not a hater of Yeezy, but it's just weird and strange, and I just don't want to be. I just don't want to do weird.
He's weird and strange.
Dude, he's weird and strange. He says weird things and he does strange things.
Isn't he bipolar or something? That's what I've heard. I don't know.
Yeah, I there's just too many weird things that I've seen. That's what I think they said. There was a whole thing last year.
I don't.
They were pushing the idea that
every artist, I mean, to a degree, those big artists, they're all weird and strange.
Yeah. No, that's,
look at all of them. I mean, but to be an artist, you got to be a little weird. Honestly,
he's like outspokenly weird and strange. Like
they're all outspokenly. Lady Gaga's outspokenly weird and strange. Man,
that's very true.
They're all weird and strange.
So why does he get such a bad rap? I wonder, because he says things on the that are particularly unnerving to his own group.
Yeah, maybe. Is that why? Maybe
he's like he's saying the weird things, but not the weird things that other people are saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, there you go. Now you're an outcast.
Yeah.
But you're not?
I don't know.
Because there's like, any, I don't know either. All I know is that I was just like, yeah, I don't get it. And I don't like it. So I'm going to stay away from
it. I don't like it.
And I thought, I don't know. I thought he was like directly associated with that service somehow.
When it came out. I thought it was him? I don't know.
Was it someone else? I'm like getting confused.
In my head, I keep thinking it's like Jay-Z that owns it, but I'm probably wrong. I don't know.
You're probably right, actually. He's, I think I remember reading something. He owns a lot.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he or maybe he owns a part of it. I don't know. I don't use Tidal either, but I remember reading like the payouts in it. Could be false, but I remember Tidal paid out the higher percentage or higher amount of money per stream.
Well, good snap.
Be fake news. I don't know.
All right, man. So we got a music video coming out and the music, the track, the song. What do you call it? Song?
Yeah, dropping a track.
Dropping a track.
Got a couple other ones. I don't know. We're into the worship song next or another one.
I'd be down trying to help film that worship thing we were talking about. Is that the one you're talking about, like how to film it?
Yeah, well, I haven't recorded it yet because I'm figuring out how I want to record it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got there's yeah
ADD moment. Something cool I saw recently that I think, I don't know, people in our circle would find interesting.
Okay.
At church, someone showed me a snare. Mm-hmm. Someone had taken a good snare, took the head off of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And replaced the head. Remo makes drum heads,
uh-huh.
But Remo also makes djembes. they had taken a djembe with the same diameter as the snare, cut the composite plastic part that's just underneath the Remo head, cut the composite part off pretty close to where the head is, maybe like an inch and a half away from it, and then milled like a rim in it so that the clamps for the top of a drum, like the metal part for the top, so it all could like attach. And so because it also still is a snare and the drum head is tight enough, if you turn the snare off on the on this snare head, what the heck do I call it, a drum, snare drum, if you turn the snare part off, you loosen it up, you can play this like there's enough acoustical like stuff going on with the snare walls that you can play this thing like a djembe. You throw the snare on and then you can use the drumsticks on it and it's tight enough that it sounds like a snare. So it becomes this like, it's this really cool, and it's this one-off made one that this guy made, and that used to be a drummer at the church, and I think he passed away or something. Anyways, so he left his stuff for them. But you could totally use this like, you know what I mean? And then if you're going to go full drums, flip the snare on, and then it's right there in front, and you just play on it, and it sounds like a real snare, and it doesn't sound bad.
That's cool.
Pops and everything, you know?
Wow.
I was like, this is like be perfect for certain different like worship environments where like, you know, there's just what do they call that? An impromptu kind of like jam or whatever. And someone wants to just kind of like keep it simple and add a kind of that vibe to it. They get it's right there. They don't have to go around and reach for a big guy or switch around or have a bunch of stuff. I don't know if I was cool the whole thing. And it was executed really well. Really well. I asked, so they're trying to sell it, actually. And I asked them how much they want for it. And he's like, they're like $600. I was like,
That's a lot.
And the drummers that were there, they talked about which Remo djembe it was and what snare it was. And they're like, actually, these are really quality components. It's worth that much. I'm like, I don't have $600, but that would be a cool little drum. It's a cool snare head to have.
Yeah.
It would be good for worship nights.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a little ADD moment.
No, that's cool.
Talking about doing a worship thing.
Yeah.
Actually, that would be kind of a cool, like, little, what is it, Easter egg or gotcha in a music video if someone was playing on a drum set with one of those. Because all the drummers would be like, what is that?
Yeah, that would be.
You know?
Yeah, that would be.
And even if they used that that way, and it was like a downbeat, like, you know, like when the drum stops and everyone sings the chorus, and it was like...
Yeah.
That would be so cool. People were like, what?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Maybe I could borrow it, you know.
I mean, borrow the $600 snare.
Yeah. To leave a deposit with them.
Yeah. So what else, man? What else is going on?
Oh, man, I thought I shared too much already. I'm no longer a web developer.
Oh, wow.
It's
bound to happen.
So last, I think in one of our last video podcasts, second to last or something, the one where I was talking about like color names, and you were joshing me about like I'm not a designer because my current job title is web developer. So yeah, I'm not a web developer anymore. Now I'm a I have a silly title. No, it's not silly. It's actually good. It's pretty cool. Digital operations manager.
Okay.
So I'm it's manager level. So that's going on up, I guess.
So I won't call you for my analog names or anything. Because you only need digital. All
right. Digital operations manager. Yep. I'm trying to play the corporate game. Get titles that put me in better positions.
It's great, too.
But to be honest, I do a lot more than web development at my company, so some sort of title needed to be better app, you know, better describe what I was doing anyways at some point. So it's fun. Then I would do a lot more too. I'm trying to, a lot. It's been pretty busy. But I like it. Like it. I don't know. I'm happy.
Good.
I got lucky. Sort of.
Are you salary there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm salaried.
I'm hourly. Or project. Event-based.
Event-based?
Yeah.
I might be in a couple of years. I don't know what's going to happen, actually. The company I work for, which I don't think I've ever mentioned on here, so that's good. Because I don't want...
Are you allowed to say anything?
No, I'm allowed to say whatever I say. I know I'm allowed to say.
Okay.
There's not a lot I'm not allowed to say, thankfully, but I just never want to be. It's very public knowledge that our company is trying to be acquired right now.
Okay.
And when these types of big companies get acquired, usually certain departments get absorbed and filtered through and integrated.
Yeah.
And it turns out the company that's trying to acquire us has a strong staff that any given one of them sort of do some of the stuff that I've been doing in my department. So why would they want, I don't see it being a great fit for me.
Yeah.
Let alone for them. So I expect in a couple of years, I'm going to be a little getting something different. But I'm super excited about that, which is not how I used to be.
Okay.
I'm super excited. I think it could be one of the biggest, funnest, famous things for me. Because I think I'm going to break out and do my own thing finally. I'm ready. I think I've learned what I didn't know and have accepted I can't do certain things and know that I need other people to join me to do those things. And I have people now that I know that can do those things that probably will be there for me to help me. We'll help each other, really.
Okay.
So that could be a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We'll see. Put that on my vision board. Just kidding. One of the other things God's good, man. That's all I'm going to say is God's good. He's so faithful to us. I feel like in my life, there's so many times where I'm like, yeah, that's God. I hear you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to run with this. I'm going to take this torch and run with it. And then you go looking for me a couple of miles down the road. I'm inside a 7-Eleven buying donuts. Someone's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, sorry, I was supposed to be running that race. I got distracted. Shoot, where's the torch? Uh-oh. That's life, I feel like, sometimes.
Yeah.
Why am I mentioning that? Anyways, it's life. And then, I'm excited to run. I'm excited to get back in and run, get the torch and run. Well, I want to finish the race.
Okay.
That's good.
I'm glad.
Speaking of weird metaphors over here, I don't know what to say.
Running that race.
I know. So.
It's great. I don't know what that race is, but you only know.
The race is life.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm just dreaming, but I feel like there's some important things I'm supposed to help with in life, and haven't, other than the important things I've already done, like having a family and protecting them from this crazy world we live in, there's more. I believe, I really feel like there were certain things I was made to do, and I haven't done those things yet, so I want to make sure I'm working towards those things.
It's awesome. What?
I just suddenly got so excited. Engaged? No,
yeah, I'm engaged.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. She's great. She's great. What?
I'm just laughing at stuff. It's late. I'm trying to get silly. Actually, is it too late? I think
I'm fine.
Maybe.
I mean, it's up to you. You.
No, I mean, like, maybe should we wrap this up?
Sure, we can wrap.
I don't have anything else. I think I'm exhausted. I mean,
okay, yeah, we can wrap.
I don't know. Did you have any?
My gosh, you're crazy right now. I'm
obviously, I didn't come with an agenda. The only idea I had, I realized I can't do because it's on the phone.
And I can't have that app running in the background.
The first time I ever used it, I don't know. Probably not.
Okay.
Well, that's impressive. Great. Battery's barely been used at all on these mics.
That's great.
That is good.
That's great. You go for hours and hours.
Yeah.
We can end. We can end.
Wait. Yeah. I want to challenge you. Not challenge you. I want to ask you something. Sorry.
Some really aggressive. So
and it was. It was
a challenge. You.
It was aggressive.
And I was like, "Oh God!"
I realized.
Let me get my shield
out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I've noticed you've been like, writing the worship song, and it's been very evident to me that the musical worship has been a bigger focus in your life.
Uh huh.
And so I wanted to say, is there anything you want to share about that?
Why are you smiling?
Because I sound like a dork when I ask those questions.
Oh, okay.
But I do. Okay. Like, I'm just curious because I haven't asked you that yet. Like, what are some of the things you've gotten out of this?
How would you get out of it? Worship is just the only thing that...
Worth anything.
It's good.
I like that.
We can build our empires here, and we can do great things, but really, it's just, as the Ecclesiastes says, just dust, be gone tomorrow. I mean, maybe not tomorrow, but in the future. You know.
In regards to what its value is to you, yes, dust.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
But
doesn't mean you shouldn't. Not for you, but for anyone that thought, like if anyone they have this, like, sorry, I'm not going to say anything more.
So you should strive for great things, but the great things are meaningless without worship. They're meaningless without God. So if you just strive for things, that's what the world does. That's what everyone does. And then they come to where they're at and they find they're not satisfied because that's not a place that you get satisfied.
It's good.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not worshiping all. I guess I'm worshiping. I'm just trying to spend more time with God, but like, that's the only thing that really is fulfilling. Everything else, things are fun. You know, doing the video with you is fun. It's all fine, but...
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Adam and Pitch podcast. This was, great. I missed doing this. I missed Pitch doing this with you, so...
Yeah. It was fun. Sorry if this was... I was bad this time. I'll be better next time. This is good. I don't know if I was good. If it was bad, I'll be better next time. It was 11 o'clock at night.
Yes. This is like...
If we did it at 6 a.m., I would be actually really good.
And if we didn't have the soda machine running the whole time, it'd probably be a lot better.
Oh, well, I mean, that's just... We need soda.
No. It's the environment we could do this. To me, this is completely acceptable because we were able to get this. We were able to do this.
Yeah.
When I listen to this, I'm going to be like, the ice machine. Out of the ice machine.
I know.
So it's all good.
What's that frequency?
Let's see. Yeah, I can remove all that.
Yeah.
Oh, you can remove white noise, huh? Two-headed try. All right.
Okay. We done. You have a great day, people. Peace be with you.